Good morning, dear folks. It's good to be with you this morning. We are I'm Ed Gaiman. I'm one of the deacons of our church here, and I haven't met some of you, but my wife and I, we work in the Crusaders classroom, which is just through those double doors to your left, and so we teach over there every Sunday morning, and we had the privilege this week of being, being invited to help out in here, which, of course, we're glad to do that. Hey, take your Bibles, please, to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Try to pick up where you left off last time, beginning in verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, and no, we're not talking about drinking, okay, at Christmas time. It's going to enter in the picture a little bit, but that's not what the message is about. That's not what the lesson's about. The lesson's entitled, Heaven in Your Home. Heaven in your home. Look where we start in verse number 18 of chapter 5. And the Bible says there, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. And for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, even in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives and their own bodies as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, and speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Many of you are familiar with Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said angels might be asked to stay with us, and they would not find themselves out of their element if our home is what it ought to be. You know, when I think about lessons in the scriptures, and by the way, the Bible is alive, and I find things today I didn't need yesterday, and I'll find things tomorrow I didn't need today, and God has brought us through different things in our lives, and many of you can testify that from this year to next year, to last year for that matter, what God's done in your life, what God's allowed in your life. But understand this, God is still God, and God is still on the throne. He knows exactly what he's doing. There are no oops, as my son says. There are no oops with the Lord. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And Spurgeon said it right, folks. If our homes are what they ought to be, and we're what we ought to be in our lives as Christians, these are things that just admonish us, encourage us. And that's what Paul is doing to the church at Ephesus. He's trying to encourage these folks to live a life so that if Christ were to come to our house, or an angel to come to our house, they would feel at home. Because our house is what it ought to be, and our home is what it ought to be. But I've also learned through a few years of experience, that's a matter of choice. We know what the Bible says, but we choose to adhere to it or not. In the matter of salvation, we know we've heard the plan of salvation possibly before for many times. But until you reach that point where you're willing to agree to it and accept God's way and accept Christ and what he has done, then you're saved. The same thing is true in living our life for the Lord. We make those choices every single day, and choices must be made. And the Bible says we need to have heaven in our home, or at least that's what the author says regarding this lesson. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do it? I think it's simply by the choice, but the key to all of it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our lives. It's only through his power that we can walk. By the way, walking is something we do really without thinking about it. We just do it every single day. That we walk in his harmony as husbands and wives, and that's the only way we can do it is through his power. We must have that in our lives. The unity of the people of God that Paul described here in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 16, which you had earlier in the lessons, must be translated into our daily lives. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment as we compare verse 18 with some of the other verses we have in the scripture here. To be filled with the Spirit is a command of the Lord. Just like he says, be not drunk with wine, he also says, be filled with the Spirit. Now we know the one, obviously, we don't want to do that. But the second one, sometimes we're a little leery of that, don't we? God comes into our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit when we're saved. And we have within us the very power of God that we can live what he wants us to live. You know, this verb, or mentioned in this verse as we read here just now, it's a matter of being filled with the Spirit. It's a plural verb. It applies to all Christians, not just to the pastor, not just to the song leader, not just to the teachers, not just to the deacons, but it applies to every Christian. Every Christian be filled. It's also in the present tense. It says, keep on being filled. You know, obviously I like to eat, but I eat every day. Sometimes, several times a day. Hello, you with me here. We need that nourishment, right? Our body needs that much, that God made us that way. We have to do it every day. And you might choose to fast, and that's understandable as far as fasting for the Lord. I've been there myself. I understand that and the importance of that. But normally, on a daily basis, we're going to bring some sustenance of some type into our bodies. Same thing should be true in our spirits every day, that we're endeavoring to walk in the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and we might be His and be keep filling constantly, and not for just those special occasions, but do it always, every day of our lives. The Bible, the word filled means controlled. Someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they're controlled of the Holy Spirit. Just like the drunkard is filled with wine, he's controlled by that substance. And not knowing what's going on possibly, but nonetheless controlled by that. And the Bible's filled with that word, and at each time it means the word control. We don't like to give up control. But God came into our lives, he saved us. I was once a sinner, and now I'm a saint. I was once a child of the devil, now I'm a child of God. I'm joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And see, I'm his. I've been bought with a price. And because I've been bought with a price, the Bible says I am to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are his. That too is a choice. But that's what God wants in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to please the Lord. I want to have his favor and his smile upon my life. You find the Bible tells about this matter being controlled by, remember Luke chapter number 2? In verse number 48 especially, or chapter 4, verse 28, the Bible says there that the Jews were filled with contempt for the Lord. They hated him. And they were so controlled by, the Bible says, controlled by wrath. And they were so controlled by that, it took over them. They wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. You also remember that the Jews were upset with Paul and Silas. And the Bible says they were controlled by envy. They wanted to have them put away. They did not like what they were doing. And so it takes charge. And when our person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are immediately baptized with the Holy Spirit into our lives. Search the scriptures. You don't find where it says to continue to be baptized in the Spirit. It's done once. Now being filled with the Spirit happens numerous times, sometimes daily, many times in our lives. And there again is what we want to be as far as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust Christ as Savior. And we are to be constantly controlled by his Spirit that comes and dwells within us. He sent us another comforter. Dwells within our very lives. And we all seem to have that power and have that strength within us. And that being controlled spiritually by him, it controls our mind. It controls our spirit. But it also controls our emotions and our will. All those things. Everything about us is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it should be so common and so normal. The Bible says walk. If something is common and normal as walking, that's how we should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Everything that comes in our lives, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Every place we go, all the activities that we do, or what we don't do, those things should be controlled by the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible tells us that also that Spirit means that I belong to Christ's body. I belong to Christ's body. That's when I have the baptism of the Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit means that my body belongs to Christ. We've already talked about that. I'm his. You've been bought with a price. You've been redeemed. So he controls your life. He controls your body. He controls your spirit. He wants to control your actions. But that's something you got to allow him to do. You remember the apostles were gathered at Pentecost, and they were filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. But you follow, and they were also baptized with the Spirit that night, and that's where the church began. But you find later on their lives, they were constantly reminded and encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ to be filled with the Spirit. I need it every day. I don't know where you stand. I need it every day. I need it in my life at work. I need it in my life at home. I need it in my life with my family. I need it in my life in church. And I need the Lord in my life every day. And I have to have that. And it's important to me that I have that. The Apostle Paul said there are three evidences in the Scriptures about being the fullness of the Spirit. Three evidences being filled with one, they're joyful. Secondly, thankful. And thirdly, submissive. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Those three points. Being joyful, being thankful, and being submissive. Number one, first of all, the first evidence of the fullness of the Spirit in our lives is joy. Joy, of course, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You remember the Bible gives us in Galatians chapter 5. Christ said, Christians, you know, for the Christian that is, the joy is like a thermometer. A thermometer is not like a thermometer. Thermometer kind of gauges how things are go up and down. It's more like a thermostat. You control it. Let God be the thermometer and control it in your life. Let the Spirit control how things are, circumstances or whatever. Let the Holy Spirit do that control. And don't let you adjust it up and down as you feel like it. You feel like, I work in the hospital, and I work with two women that are very, I wear jackets and long sleeves. I'm on blood thinner. I don't like cold. They come in and they are just fanning. They're hot. They go and do the thermostats. It does absolutely no good because thermostat is controlled by the main unit in the very back. But they come, they're hot. They're hot. One of our gals came in one of these little personal little fans that plug into her computer, and she left to go to lunch. She left it on. I sat there and about froze to death with that little thing blowing in my face. But she's hot. She's hot. Well, what happens? You can try to control that thermostat up and down, and maybe do that at home. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. Let Holy Spirit, so everything is where God wants it in your life, every day, in every situation, every circumstance that comes your way. We need to have joy. Do you have joy? Are you a joyful person? Are you a happy person? Do folks know that? It's going to show. Christian joy, what the writer says, is a deep experience of adequacy and confidence in spite of the circumstances. I know my God is able. I know my God is with me. I know my God will get me through this. I know my God has a purpose, and he has a plan for my life. And we can be joyful even in the midst of pain and suffering. Good example of that, the Apostle Paul. You remember Paul and Silas, they were there, and they were put into prison. And they were, of course, beaten, and they were in chains, and as they suffered for the Lord. And the Bible says at midnight they sang unto the Lord. And the Bible says the jailer heard it. Don't you know the prisoners did too? You know the rest of the story, right? Because of what they did, because they're allowing God to control them, not the situation and not their pain and not their circumstance, allow God to control them. At midnight, they sang. What happened because of that? The Bible says the jailer and all of his household were saved. I dare say, I don't know that would have happened if Paul had not been in that place where they were able to sing in a time of being in prison and being hurt and being in pain. So we determined that. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. You ever study the life of Paul? That's a big thing to say. Those are big shoes to fill, Paul. How are you going to be content in every situation? That's what he said. And Scripture bears out. He proved that. You know, he wrote most of the New Testament, so you know God did a work in his heart and his life. And I know that the Lord is real in his life. He knew about the Spirit and being controlled by him. In verse number 18, Paul uses a very familiar illustration here, something on earth, something common that we're aware of. He talks about being drunk. If you've never experienced that or been around someone who has, let me fill you in on a couple things. A drunkard is controlled by a substance that's not his. It's foreign. And he actually, it becomes more of a depressant more than it is something that would encourage him or help him. And because of that, he has no pain. And because of that, his tongue becomes loose. And says some things sometimes may not be very pleasant, but he's very quick to say, he's not shy about that. And the Apostle Paul says, take that idea, take that thought, take that image, if you can, of a drunkard, translate that, or put that in the life of a Christian. that we are so filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit, we can't be quiet. And everyone around us is going to know it. In your daily living, in your daily walk, in your daily talk. Let the Holy Spirit be in control. That's what God wants for me. That's what God wants for you if you want victory in your life. But you got to choose to allow it to happen. The Bible tells us that we're not to be afraid, or encourages not to be afraid to speak of that which we possessed. You know, I follow the life of the apostles, and I've studied for many, many years in scripture, teaching in school and so forth, in our Christian schools and so forth. Done a lot of studying, a lot of teaching. But I've come to find out something. The Lord Jesus Christ still controls everything that happens in the world and in our lives. I'm glad Jesus brought salvation to me, and I'm sure you'd rejoice in that too. When I was a little boy, I had rheumatic fever when I was in the fifth grade. And I was in public school. I missed the whole school year. I had rheumatic fever, which of course takes, there's a heart murmur involved with that, and fever and so forth, and anything. Several things, rheumatoid arthritis goes along with it. And my teacher, who was a public school teacher and a Christian, came to my house and taught me so I would not fail the fifth grade. And she did not charge my parents anything. I was older as an adult. I had it again in a little different situation there. But I was controlled by that. I had no choice. I couldn't make it well. I mean, I tried, but I couldn't. I just didn't have the energy or the strength to do it. In our lives as Christians, understand this, that God allows things in our lives sometimes so that we might lean upon Him. And that's true. Circumstances come to draw us closer to Him. Maybe we need that because maybe we've drifted a little away from Him. He draws us closer to Him. God's still in control. The drunk makes a fool of himself. The Bible says that we can be fools for Christ if we live for Him and allow Him to control us. And we can be a witness for Him. The drunk will draw attention to himself. We don't. We try to draw attention to the Lord. And others should see that, and others should know that about our lives. The Bible talks about in the scripture we read today about that God gives us a song. The psalmist said God gives us a song. Even in the night, God gives us a song. And God is with us. And maybe you catch yourself sometimes around the house humming or singing something as you're going about your daily task. And because the Lord is real. Christians, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't need the stimulants from the outside world. We have all we need in Christ. All we need is in Christ Jesus. And so we have that in our lives. And that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He's all we need. So we have joy. So a question is, do we have joy? Number two, the second evidence that Paul gives us about the fullness of the Spirit is this. We're thankful. We are thankful. Someone defined the home as a place where we are treated the best and we complain the most. See, that's something. Being thankful is a choice also. You have to be thankful for your home and for your family and what's going on in your life. You know, being thankful to God for each other is actually a secret to a happy home. You know, you've heard the saying, happy wife, happy life. I'm just simply saying, if you're happy and everyone in your family, of course, joins in with that, you're going to have a happy home. But the devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't want that. The devil doesn't want you to be happy. The devil wants you to be miserable. He wants you to hurt. He wants you to be in pain. He wants you to suffer. He wants to call turmoil and trouble in your life so that you might forget even who God is. So God loves us, and He desires that we be thankful for Him. You know, if we're truly saved and we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we're truly grateful for what God has done for us, we can't help but be thankful. God's good, and God's good every day in our lives. And we have to be reminded about that. I wouldn't think we have to wait to a season of Thanksgiving, would we? Do we? Do we have to wait to November to be thankful? Do we have to wait to December to celebrate the birth of our Savior? No, those are choices. I mean, we do that obviously on the calendar. But what about our lives every day? Every day we need to be thankful, people. Be thankful what God has done for us. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful God lives within me because of that. I have Him in my heart. I can acknowledge He is the giver of every good gift. The Bible says every good and perfect gift. God gives it to us. Everything about it. That's His grace. not just, it doesn't just end with salvation. His grace continues every single day in our lives. And if you take time to think about it, you can see it in your life, where God has intervened, where God has come into your life and helped you out, and God has been there for you. So we need to be grateful. That helps us to be humble as well, and not to be proud, but rather be humble. That we, of course, God's helped us and God's given us all things. Paul commanded in our scripture today to be thankful in all things. Can we really be thankful in times of suffering? Can we really be thankful in times where our heart's broken, we've been disappointed, or possibly even times of bereavement, where that loved one's been taken from us? Can we really be thankful? Well, if the Bible be true, and I've dealt with as many of you have for many years, I understand this. Yes, we can. But it's God in us that gives us the strength to do it. We can't do it. We can do it through Christ. Christ in us, that's our hope, that's our help. And God can help us to do that. Remember, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to the world, he's writing to believers. Hey, the scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, for it's profitable for us, the Bible says, for us today. If Paul's talking about things here to the church at Ephesus, it's as if I'm sitting on the front row of the church at Ephesus. Because after all, Paul's talking to me. God's talking through Paul to me. He's talking to you too. God desires in our lives that we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and He's real. And everything that we do, by 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, said, everything, give thanks, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you individually. Not just as the church, but you individually. You have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You prayed a personal prayer and asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life and save you. Your wife can't be saved for you. Your husband can't be saved for you. Your children can't be saved for you. You have to be saved yourself. Ask the Lord to do that in your life. God has to do that personally. And then, of course, God gives us the commands in His Word of God not to be thankful, and we ought to be. Another evidence of the Holy Spirit, number three, is submissive. And that's what the greater part of the lesson is about here, this in verses 21 through 33. He's talking about a principle here. It's a principle that has to do with harmony and unity in the home. Among husband and wife, yes, but also the children are brought into it. And it only goes a step further in chapter 6, and he talks about even your relationship at work with your boss. So he carries it a little bit further than just the home. But the admonition is to submit. And our body, we don't like to do that. We just don't, we buck up at that. We blow up at that. We don't do that. You know, this matter of submission, really it has nothing to do with the order of authority, but rather governs the operation of authority. That is, how it's given, how it's received. Who has the authority? How do we receive that authority? How do we be submissive, the Bible says. Be submissive. Not something we want to do, but something nonetheless the Bible says we should do. But by nature, we want to promote ourselves instead of promoting our Lord. That's unfortunate, but it's true. Remember, he's writing to believers. Notice a couple things. Verse number 22 through 24, it says, wives, submit yourselves. Now, hold on here, wives. Don't get upset yet. We're going to get to the husbands. Okay. By the way, Paul talks more to them than he does to the wives. So hold on with me, okay? Don't leave me here. Wives, submit to your husbands. He gives two reasons when he gives us this command. And it has to deal with two things. One being the lordship of Christ and the headship of Christ. Both are important. The lordship of Christ and the headship of Christ. For the Christian wife who submits herself to Christ and lets him be Lord of her life will have no difficulty letting her husband be of influence in her life as well. And be head. It doesn't mean you become a slave. That's not what it's talking about. Because a husband also has to submit, right? It's for both. It's for both. The Christian husband and wife should pray together. They should be in God's word for their own personal lives together. Not only how God's going to deal with their lives personally, but also how that affects their home. And by the way, it does affect. It affects your life. You can't keep it in. the Christian couple must be careful to submit to Christ's lordship. If that's the case, then these other things fall in place. And they have to do that, by the way, even before you marry. You ought to have that commitment with your to be spouse, that you're going to live for the Lord and God's going to be in ruler of your household and of your relationship. And if that doesn't happen, you're not starting off on a very strong foundation. You need the Lord even in that before you're married. God says he desires that we submit to him and that he is Lord of our lives. Again, we have to make that choice. And if we don't make that choice, we're going to struggle. Now we find in verse number 25 through 33, I told you Paul spent more time on husbands than did the wives. Here he goes, husbands, love your wives. Husband, love your wives. The word love encompasses a whole lot of things. It's not just a physical act. It's not just buying flowers and candy once a year. I'm not talking about, no, he's talking about a different type of love here. He's talking about something that, again, it's daily, in your life, every day, part of your life, that you show that and you're thankful for your spouse. You love your wives. The Bible says even, husbands, even, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Now, Paul is setting a very high standard for husbands. Love your wives. Love your wives. Remember the phrase, happy life, happy wife, happy life? Okay, love your wives. Very high standard, but Paul said, remember, love them as Christ loved the church. And how much did Christ love the church? Look at what Christ did for us. Look what Christ continues to do for us as his people. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So husbands, we love our wives and give ourselves for them. And that's a high level to achieve. Not only does this matter of love deal with emotions, it deals with a social purpose, it deals with a physical purpose, a spiritual purpose. But how is the husband to love as Christ loved the church? Number one, sacrificially. Think of what Christ did for the church. Think of how Christ gave us or provided for us salvation. He was sacrificed. He died. He lived a life, that's true. He performed some miracles, and that is true. He was the Son of God upon the earth, that is true. But our salvation doesn't come from any of those things. Our salvation comes from the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for his people that he loved, the church. That's why he gave his life. Husbands, love your wives, love them sacrificially. I like the story in the Old Testament where it talks about Jacob. Jacob went to work for a man for he had his eyes on his daughter. He wanted her for his wife. So you remember Laban said, okay, work for me 7 years and you can have her. Now, I don't know, guys, if we'd be willing to do that today. But in those days, that was a task. I would think I would, all right? But for in those days, that was a task. And so he agreed to it, and he labored hard for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, you remember the story, when it came time to get his bride, his prize, for working 7 years, the man tricked him and gave him somebody else, the older sister. Because after all, she was the older sister. She should be married first. He tricked him. Well, he didn't give up on Rachel. The Bible says he served another 7 years. 14 years, he labored. He labored hard. And the day finally came, and he got his prize. And he was thankful. And don't you know, he loved her. He proved it already. So God says, you want to love your wives, men? You do it sacrificially. And the Bible tells us, husbands, if you want to love your wives, it has to be sanctifying. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. The word sanctify means set apart. What does that mean? There's nobody else. You remember the ceremony, the marriage ceremony, wedding ceremony? You promise to hold and keep and all that and cleave only to her or only to him as long as you both shall live. That's God's plan. I know circumstances, I understand, but in the norm, we make a commitment to the Lord. And by the way, if we're spirit-filled and we're where we ought to be in our walk with the Lord each day, we won't have time to look elsewhere. Because God has a purpose and God has a plan. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. The same thing is true in our marriage. We're set apart. We're set apart as a couple, but yet we're one. And the love for the husband, for the wife, ought to be cleansing her and also cleansing himself each day. It makes him pure. And what he does for his wife, really he does for himself. Marriage is a constant growth in the Christ, our Lord. So is your life. Where are you today compared to where you were the day you were saved? There should be some growth. When I was growing up, I worked in an apartment store when I was in high school. And there was a couple in our town that had a young child. I say young child mentally, actually is a full-grown man. And she literally carried him around, and the lady carried, and he wrapped around her. They didn't have all the harnesses and all that like they have today that helps. She literally carried him. He couldn't speak. That was her son. He had the mind of a child, what little mind he had. Physically, he had the body of a grown person. In our lives as Christians, may I use that just to say very quickly, if we're not careful, our body may present one thing and our mind says something else. In our lives as Christians, we can play the game. We can play the game. We can live the life on Sunday, but how are we the rest of the week in our lives? This matter of being controlled, this matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit is every day, not just on Sunday, as we call the Lord's Day. So we need to be filled with the Lord, that's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, because God desires that, not only for us, for our sanctifying of our wife. Husband, love your wives. It should also be, number three, satisfying. Very quickly, satisfying. Satisfying for both of you. The Bible says, become one flesh. Whatever she does for herself, actually she does for me. Whatever I do, should do for her. It's satisfying. So we find the man who loves his wife is actually loving his own body, the Bible says. That's how you show you love yourself. You know, we don't hurt ourselves physically. We love her. We nourish her. What are we doing? We're being a little bit selfish, because actually we're loving and nourishing ourselves by loving and nourishing her. So these are things and teachings and lessons that are given to us in the Scripture so that we might grow and we might live for the Lord and we might have victory in our lives. But if both the husband and the wife are submitted to the Lord and to each other, and then they are satisfied, and there's no temptation to look elsewhere. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm going to take time to read this quote because I thought it was very, very important. The writer had this to say about this matter of relationships. The Christian homes are the pictures of Christ's relationship to his church. Each believer is a member of Christ's body, and each believer is to help nourish the body in love, speaking of the church. We are one with Christ. The church is his body and his bride, and the Christian home is a divinely ordained illustration of this relationship. This certainly makes marriage a very serious matter, but you see the high plane. God says, this is where your home ought to be. This is where we ought to be. And God says it should be so. Paul closed this passage of Scripture with one last admonition for the husband. It says for the husband, of course, to love his wife. And it says that the wife reverence or respect her husband, both of which require the power of the Holy Spirit and their choices that have to be made there. Paul, of course, understands what he's talking about because, after all, God's given him the words to say. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, Galatians 5, is love. And this matter of the husband's relationship with the wife and they're living in harmony and loving together and sharing that love, and it's a daily walking together. And that's beautifully described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible said that's how God pictured it, how Christ cared for the church. That's how the husband is cared for the wife in the home. That's how it ought to be. So if those things are true, if the Holy Spirit fills us, he enables us, he gives us the power to speak for him and to serve him, then it's easy for us to be loving one another in sacrificial, satisfying, and a sanctifying way, just like Christ loved the church. So to experience the fullness of the Spirit, you got to first be a Christian. You got to first ask Christ in your life. And folks, I'm not trying to superimpose myself over the pastor in no way. I'm simply saying, understand this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never have a happy home. Because He must be Lord in your life, in your wife's life, and in your home in order for God to bless it like it ought to be. You must be saved. The Bible says we must be saved. There's no other way. Christ is the only way. And He's the only way through the Holy Spirit that we can have success in our lives, in harmony in our families as Christians. But I think there's one more important thing very quickly we have to gather from this as Paul is writing. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to help us. You know, God wouldn't give us a task without supplying us the means to acquire it to do that task. He doesn't call a missionary to the foreign field without making provision for that, making a way for that missionary to get to the foreign field. God provides. We know about that because what our church does as far as mission work. The same thing is true in our lives as Christians. God doesn't call us to do something that He'll make provision for us to do it. He gives us what we need inside of us spiritually so that we might love Him and work for Him. But we need the Word of God. And Christian, if there's nothing else you get from this morning, I hope you be encouraged to be in God's Word daily so I can walk in His love, so I can have peace and harmony in my home, and it ought to be what it ought to be, and I can love husbands, I can love my wife. Wife, I can love my husband and submit to him even as Christ loved the church. That's God's way. And that's a choice you have to make, and God will help you to do that. But you must be in His Word. You know, not just that husbands and wives should spend time in God's Word every day, and that's true. You should. Every Christian should. And if you're not, I would encourage you again, start today. You'll find something in the Bible today that you need today. That's how it's designed, and it's alive. I've read the Bible through many, many times over the years that I served the Lord. Every single day, there's something there. There's something there I need today because of circumstances, situations, whatever's going on in my life. I need it today, but I didn't need it yesterday or even last week, but I need it today, and I don't need it tomorrow necessarily, but I need it right now. It's real. Is Christ real in your life? Are you submitted to Him? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Are you continually being filled with the Spirit so God can use you and use you to be a witness for Him? If you're filled with the Spirit, you can live a life that shows others Christ is living in you and make a difference. And can't be quiet about it because Christ lives in us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you rejoicing this morning? I've been baptized in the Spirit. That's true. I was saved. But more importantly, I'm filled right now. Maybe in 5 minutes I need another filling, but I can be filled, and God says He'll do it. He'll do it. He's able. And He does that through His Word. So how is home going to be heaven on earth? If you're filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. God, I'm so thankful this morning You give us a message of hope and of truth. And regardless of where our family situation is and our home situation is and our relationships might be today, there's hope in the fact that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and You can bring newness and freshness in our lives and our relationships and in our home, and we can live godly for You. And Lord, we look for Your blessings in our lives. Lord, I pray You'd help us to choose to be filled with the Spirit so that we can have Your favor and Your smile upon our lives and please You. In Jesus' name, amen.